brethren, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin, but God keeps them. The one who holds tomorrow in his hand is our God. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its clouds may turn to gray. I don't worry for the future, for I know Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't see.
Understand, but I know Loud hallelujah. Let's rise up on our feet, please. As we close our eyes, right there where you are, I want you to begin to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who has brought you here in order to bless you. Praise Him from the bottom of your heart. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one who has never lost a battle. What a mighty God we serve. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. I'll pray thou art. Sing it loud and clear, beloved.
Jesus is the winner man.
Jesus is the winner man.
For this evening, we praise your holy name for bringing us to this wonderful gathering. There is none like unto you. Thank you for what you have been doing here since Friday. Thank you for what you did yesterday. Thank you for what you did this morning. And thank you for what you are going to do here tonight. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. This evening, meet each and everyone at the point of their needs. Amen. Let every stubborn oppressor be disgraced. Amen. Let the gear of the enemy be put in reverse position. Amen. And let your people here possess their possession. Amen. And as many people as are here tonight, who have been crying to the Lord, when will my deliverance come? Tonight, Lord, stretch forth your hand and deliver in the name of Jesus. And as many people as are here this evening, and they have been boxed a corner by the enemy, you shall pursue your pursuers. And you shall possess your possession. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Let's have a seat. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, we have a good problem here today. This all is now becoming too small. So try and hurry up with the service so that we can close on time. We have three things ahead of us tonight. Number one, we want to look into the words of God now. After that, we're going to go into the ministration for tonight. Thereafter, we go into the anointing service. Praise the Lord. Very briefly, we're looking at what I call your destiny and your roots. Your destiny and your roots. That will form the basis of the prayers we're going to pray here tonight. And you will do very well to be very, very attentive. Your destiny and your roots. Sisters, what's our topic? Brothers, can you say the same thing? Let's read three scriptures very quickly. Number one is Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, verse 18. Your destiny and your roots. Many things that have been happening in our lives that we don't understand, this message will throw some light to them. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18. Are we there? Lest there should be among you, number one, man, number two, woman, number three, family, number four, tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. God is always very angry with any form of idol worship. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. I read again, lest there should be among you man, woman, family, or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. So, four things there are being referred to as root. Number one, a man could be a root. Number two, a woman could be a root. Number three, a family could be a root. Number four, a tribe could be a root. And a situation could arise where that root will develop trouble. If you open your Bible to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13, verse 6. Matthew chapter 13, verse 6. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. So the problem with this plant here was that it had no root. And because of that, it was destroyed. It withered away. And in Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, verse 16. Romans 11, 16. For if the first fruit be holy, Romans 11, 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Amen. Now, the root is a most important part of a plant. It is the root of a plant that anchors that plant to the ground. It is the root of a plant that brings nutrient from the soil into the plant. If the root of a plant has a problem, the totality of that plant would have problem. If the root of a plant is sick, very soon that sickness will appear in the whole of the plant. If the root of a plant is polluted, very soon you see the pollution throughout the whole of the plant. If the root of a plant has an infirmity in it, or there is a bacteria, virus eating away at that root, very soon you see the effect of the whole plant. So it's a very serious matter when the root is in trouble. Because for you to dig into the soil to get the whole plant out, treat the root, and return the plant to the ground is a serious thing. While you are doing that, you may completely lose the plant. Just as it is true for plant, it is also true for human beings. If the root of a life is cursed, the whole of that life is cursed. If the root of a man's life is in trouble, the whole of that life will be in trouble. Your root represents the foundation of your life. Your root represents the platform prepared for you by your ancestors. Your root represents the totality of that which makes you what you are. It's therefore very important for you to know that many of the problems we struggle with that look so stubborn can be traced to the root. Gehazi was a man that his parents loved. The parents of Gehazi loved Gehazi so much they asked him to go to the school of the prophets. He was learning to be a prophet. But then something went wrong. He took money when he should not take money. And when he faced his master Elisha, a pronouncement went out. Elisha said, "Is this the time to take gift?" He said, "It's okay. The leprosy of Naaman should come upon you." I wish Elisha had kept quiet at that level, but the man did not keep quiet. He continued and he said, "And unto your offspring." If Elisha said the leprosy of Naaman comes upon you, no problem. It's only Gehazi who will die of leprosy. But then the prophets extended the curse to his generations. Meaning that Gehazi had already prepared a platform of leprosy for all his children. So those children have not done anything wrong. They were not there when Gehazi was stealing. But then they have inherited an evil platform. And it's now affecting them. My heart goes out this day to many people here who are in one bondage or the other. Not because they did anything wrong, but because they have come from a platform of evil, which is now affecting their destiny. When the mad winds of life come upon a person, the only thing that will keep you standing are those stubborn, strong roots that you have. And if you don't have those roots, the person collapses like a pack of cards. I want you to understand this fact very well. As it is true for plants, it is also true for man. Many, many years back, I had to minister in a very difficult area. That area, no church ever succeeded. What we had there was occultic centers and all kinds of deceivers. Anytime a true church wants to start in the place, there will be problems. So what I'm going to tell you now happened while I was ministering in that place. There was a witch doctor close to the church who engages in antenatal care. But I was this pregnant woman going to the witch doctor for antenatal care. And so the witch doctor told her that, "Well, for you to deliver your baby, maybe you need to bring $300. The day of delivery came, the woman didn't have the money. And this witch doctor said, "Well, if you don't have the money, then there is no delivery." Well, somebody ran around, got around $150. Gave it to the witch doctor. She was pregnant of twins. So the witch doctor started his satanic incantations. And after the incantation, the woman delivered one. The witch doctor said, well, you only paid half. So when you pay the balance, the second baby shall come out. And right there, problem started. Its complications now went in. People ran around, got the money, gave the money to the witch doctor, but at this time, the woman was almost dying. So the husband came, withdrew her, and was trying to take her away to her parents. But while they were on the way, somebody saw this woman was about to die in the car, and the person said, what's wrong with her? They said, she wants to deliver a baby, she wants to die. This brother said, no, just bring her to our church. So they took her to this prayer warrior meeting. The prayer warriors were just preparing to start their night vigil. And they put her at the center. Father, in the name of Jesus, she delivered the second baby. But now, that is a small problem. Baby number one was delivered in the house of the witch doctor. Baby number two was delivered inside the church. This was early 70s. As I'm talking to you now, the baby number one that was delivered in the house of the witch doctor is in jail. It's in prison. Baby number two is now a pastor. So there is a power relationship between your root and your destiny. You must understand that one. Unfortunately, we have a serious sickness in the house of God these days. The sickness is what the Bible calls ignorance. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Many people just come to the house of God, they don't really know their left from their right. And some think it's a social gathering where you dance your time away, or where you play church politics. Whereas it's a place where you fight and you win. It's a place where your defeat is converted to victory. That's what the place is supposed to be. Ignorance is still the greatest enemy of man. But to be quite honest with you, the greatest mountain that faces you is the mountain of your ignorance. Fear is a product of ignorance. Because you just don't know what to do. You don't know where you are. Physical ignorance is very bad. Spiritual ignorance is worse. While I was a student at the University of Reading in England, we had one chap from Cameroon. He was very sick. He was admitted into the university hospital. Now, this fellow had malaria. But all the white doctors in that hospital had never seen one single case of malaria in their lives. But we from Africa, immediately we looked at the man. We said, doctor, this is malaria. We know this one. We said, doctor, this is malaria. Give this man chloroquine. The white doctor said, no, you don't do a thing like that in this place. This is not your country. We have taken his blood and we have sent his blood to the Royal School of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene. They will check his blood, whether there are malaria parasites in the blood. If we find the malaria parasite, we shall institute treatment. Meanwhile, the result did not come from the Royal School of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene, and this fellow was dying. So the Africans, so they now gathered themselves and took placards. All we are saying, give chloroquine. Amen. So, one of our spokesmen now said, if you don't give this man chloroquine, we shall burn down this hospital. When the doctors heard that, the medical director came out and said, well, you want to burn down the hospital? Don't burn down the hospital. Just sign this paper for me that you were the one that gave him chloroquine. So one of us signed. I did not sign. Somebody signed. person took some, he brought some chloroquine from home. So he opened the mouth of this man, threw in the chloroquine, put in some water. After a few minutes, he started to sweat. And within the next few days, he was out of the hospital. Up to the time that he got out of the hospital, the result never came. So what I'm saying is this. The ignorance of those doctors will have killed a man. So if physical ignorance is this bad, spiritual ignorance is worse. It's worse. You shall know the truth, and the truth that you know shall set you free. That's why ignorance is more costly than education. Because by the time you get into trouble, getting out will be a serious problem. And problems most times cannot be solved at the level of awareness that created them. You have to go above that level to solve the problem. Your root and your destiny. What is your destiny? Your destiny is God's purpose for your life. Your destiny is what God had in mind when He created you and allowed you to come to this world. Your destiny is why you were born. Your destiny is God's purpose for your life. Your destiny is what has been written in the book of heavens concerning you. And you know, several times in the Bible, you find Jesus saying, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of Him." That is, something has been written about Him. So He was just going according to what was written. Meaning that it is possible for the Son of Man to go as it is not written of Him. Many people are going as it is not written of them. And this is why they are having trouble. If you are in the wrong place and you are asking God to bless you, the Lord will ask you, "Did I ask you to go there? I didn't ask you to go there." One day I went to greet a couple. As I got into the room, it was the wife that came out. She said, "Pastor, you are welcome. God bless you." I noticed that her hair was very wet. The face too was very wet. So, "Pastor, God bless you. God bless you. You are welcome. It's a privilege to have you here. God bless you." Instead of her to tell me that, "Pastor, my husband just held my neck and dipped my head into the toilet bowl and flushed the water." Say, "Pastor, it's a privilege having you here. You are welcome in Jesus' name." Amen. Well, many have marriage deficits. Because when a man does not understand his destiny, he will pick a fire extinguisher and marry. When a woman does not understand her destiny, she will marry somebody who will completely destroy that which God wants her to build up. So it's a very serious matter. And the kind of prayers we're going to pray, it's a very serious kind of prayer, because what we're going to battle tonight might have started 600 years ago, 800 years ago, and now you want a repair to happen. So you need to really cry to the Lord. Now let me speak to you as the pastor of the largest single church in Africa. And I want to speak to you from years of experience of counseling and deliverance and looking at different situations. And the data I want to share with you now, I've been gathering them for about 30 years. And this is what the trend, the pattern that we have noticed. If your parents were into idol worship, don't be too surprised now if you notice that you are suffering from spiritual bondage. Don't be too surprised if you find frustration and poverty battling you. God has issued curses against idol worship all to the fourth generation. So if your parents were into idol worship, don't be too surprised if you are going through some troubles now. You need to pray tonight and physically lay your hold and spiritually lay your hold on those idols and destroy them. Fortunately, you can do that by spiritual warfare. If you've come from a polygamous setup, Don't be too surprised if your marriage is going through turbulence now. There is some trouble happening here and there. If your parents were worshipping Satan, they were unto Satan worship, don't be too surprised. You will find that wherever you go now, there are powers running after you and trying to spoil things for you. There are many of us in America here saying our prayers and going to work every day. But right there where we were born, there is still an old man that wakes up every morning to go to the idol and said, "Idol, I brought this present to you on behalf of my children in America and the ones in England." You are here trying to say prayers, but over there, somebody still resumes at the front of the altar every day to say, "I'm here on behalf of so and so." If your parents were into the slave trade, don't be too surprised if you are having a hard life now and there is untimely death working among the family. In fact, to be quite honest with you, every area where slave trade took place has always had a hard time. Very hard time. All the curses issued by the slaves will be manifestation unless something is done about it. Perhaps you have parents who are into occultism. Don't be too surprised if you find that wherever you go now, it was as if witches are welcoming you. So you are here, welcome. And they start pursuing the person. If your parents were thieves, they're stealing. Don't be too surprised if you find that you are losing your things now. Quite easily. Things just disappear. You don't know what to do with your money. If your parents were drummers, don't be too surprised if you have acidic poverty now. Because as a spiritual standard, drummers never make it. Don't be too surprised. If you are from a royal family, then you do need a royal deliverance. Don't be too surprised if the enemy is just bombarding you with all kinds of afflictions and you can't really find a way. Don't be too surprised. If your parents were one of those who fought the missionaries, don't be too surprised if you are going through a hard time now. Or somebody comes from a town where a missionary has shaken off the dust of his feet. Don't be too surprised to find that wherever you go now, it seems as if the way is blocked. So what I'm trying to make you understand is that there is a relationship, a power relationship between your root and your destiny. And you must understand that very well. The father of Moses in the Bible was a man called Levi. Levi was known for his anger and his violence. Very soon, Moses too started to get angry. And he got into trouble with the Lord. Jacob looked at his child, Reuben, and said, "Reuben, you are as unstable as water." I know water will always take the part of least resistance. So by the time you get to the book of Judges, you find Reuben sitting at home and playing games when others are fighting in the war. His father already said it in the book of Genesis. When you read your Bible well, and you find that the Bible says Moab had been at ease from his youth. He has not been torn from cup to cup. Therefore, he remained as he was. His life was stagnant. By the time you look at the life of Moab, you find that the origin of Moab was in incest. Was Lot that slept with his daughters, and that was the origin of the race of Moab. So this root, if we don't address it, we're wasting our time. That's why we say ignorance is a very terrible thing. Ignorance was the fashion yesterday. It is still the fashion today, and it will continue to be the fashion tomorrow unless you have knowledge. And the greatest enemy of ignorance is knowledge. But the trouble with knowledge is that knowledge will not acquire you. You have to acquire knowledge. But I have news for you. No matter what the circumstances of your birth are, you can still, by the power of God, rise above it. You can rise above the circumstances of your origin, no matter how bad they are. Ruth in the Bible, the woman Ruth came from an abominable root. But then she became that woman who said, "Where you go, I go. Where you sleep, I sleep. Your God shall be my God. Where you die, I die." And she eventually became a great grandmother of our Lord Jesus Christ. So she was able to rise above the evil root from which she was born. So you can still, by the power of God, rise above all these terrible roots which has been plaguing men day and night. Say this after me with a loud voice. I rise above my roots by the power in the blood of Jesus. Say it aloud and clear. Say it again. I rise above my roots by the power in the blood. Shout it loud and clear. I rise. Shout it louder than that. I rise above my roots by the power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. So because you were born in a manger does not mean that you should die in a manger. Jesus was born in a manger, but today he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You say, "Man of God, how can I rise above my roots?" I'll tell you. Number one key for somebody who wants to rise above any evil root is that you must be born again. The Bible says, "Whosoever is in Christ Jesus has become a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." One of the greatest problems we have in the house of God these days is that many churchgoers are simply not born again. When the Bible says you must be born again, it means you must be born from above. That is, you live a life of sin and now you follow the Master. Many churchgoers who claim to be born again can be described as being born against. Those who are born again don't commit fornication. They don't steal. They don't get into a mad rage. But because it says all things are passing away. All things have become new. It didn't say all things have been refurbished or polished up. No, they have become new. When you have surrendered your life to Jesus and you get born again, your life becomes like that ancient Negro spiritual, which says, "The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. There is a great change since I'm born. The friends I used to have, the places I used to go, the drink I used to drink, there's a great change. That's what you call new birth. Your life undergoes a rearrangement. To be quite honest with you, many pastors, many bishops are simply not born again. They're not born again. Being born again is not signing the back of a tract. It's not carrying the pastor's bag. It's not shaking the preacher's hand. In fact, you could shake the preacher's hand and go from the shaking to hellfire. Being born again is when you come to the feet of the cross, you know that it's a sinner, you surrender at the feet of the cross, and you begin to move the way God wants you to move in your life. So if you are not born again, or you don't have the genuine experience of salvation, overcoming evil roots will be impossible. I spend time on this so that you understand what we're talking about. Number two key is this. Number one key is be born again. Number two key is that hate the evil root with perfect hatred. Hate it with perfect hatred. Determine at all cost to escape from that evil root. Shake away all hindrances so that you can possess your possession. Determine that at if all the members of my family decide to sit down in this kind of position, I must rise above that position. Amen. I come from a very poor family. My first school fees, which was lower than $1, my parents could not afford it. My father borrowed that first school fees. My first school fees in the university. We used to have an Indian teacher in our school in those days. And he used to tell us that if you want to escape from poverty, read your book. I took his advice seriously. I read like no man's business. But that was a year. I read from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. every day for that the whole year. Because the man said, if you want to escape from poverty, read your book. Okay, at least this man has given a solution. I knew where I was born. I didn't want my life to go the way I was seeing. Amen. So I now got into the university and I was trying my best to do what we were asked to do there. I noticed this beautiful lady who prefers to sit by my side anytime we were in the laboratory or in the classroom. She was about 15 years older than myself. But very beautiful lady, she sits by my side. No matter where I was in the laboratory, she would locate me and sit by my side. Amen. Then one day, as she sat again by my side and said, good morning, and I said, good morning, I said, Daniel, I said, yes, I said, I have composed a song for you. Song. I said, okay. I said, can I sing it? I said, yes. Then she sang, Danny K, Danny boy, I love you. Amen. I said, ah. She said, she finished this song. I said, don't you think that song is very melodious? I said, you see, that is the worst song I've ever had in my life. So you are singing Danny K, Danny, but did you know how I got here? I got here and borrowed school fees. Amen. And she looked at my face and said, useless boy. So, so you are supposed to be enjoying yourself here. Read, book, 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 book. No. Enjoy yourself. She says, thank you. Then, a few years ago, I was in my counseling room at our headquarters. A lady came in looking for counseling. I looked at her, I recognized her immediately. She did not recognize me. So I looked at her face and said, Madam, do you know me? Well, she said, no, it's a privilege coming here. No, I've never met you before. I thank God that I'm able to see you today. I've been wanting to see you for a long time. Thank God I'm here today. I said, you mean you don't know me? She said, no, I don't. We've never met, sir. Never met, sir. It's a privilege being here. I said, okay. I will remind you now. Danny K. Danny boy. Amen. Oh, she said, is it you? Yes. Say yes. Say, if I'd listened to your song that time, I will not be here to help you now where you need help. So when you want to defeat evil root, you have to determine to escape by all means. Don't listen to or obey diversion. The enemy diverts you, it will be very sad. The same enemy that diverts you will come to the burial ground and put sand on your coffin. So you have to understand what you are doing with your life. Key number three is this: for those who want to overcome evil roots, is that you must spiritually clear your foundations. You must spiritually clear your foundation. If you are going to a church where your pastor says there is no deliverance, you better get out. Because without the ministry of conflict, many people will not go anywhere in life. We all have battles to fight. Of all the cities in the world, Jerusalem has been the city that has faced most attacks. In fact, over 40 different times, Jerusalem has been attacked, apart from the one in Corinth history. Why does Jerusalem face attack? Because of the prophetic destiny of that city. So if you do have a destiny, the enemy will harass you. If you are here this evening and say, "Man of God, I don't have any enemy," then I want to announce to you that you are an idiot or a zombie. Because immediately you rise and say, "I want to fulfill my destiny," some powers will rise against you and say, "No." The Bible says, "Let God arise and let his enemies of God, scatter." Then you, a human, may say, "I don't have enemies," when God himself has. Who nailed Jesus to the cross? They were not his friends. They were his enemies. Who put him up there? Many of us are so naive. Say, "Well, I don't hurt a fly. I don't hurt anyone. I'm very nice to people." Yes, good to be nice. But then immediately, your name is announced in heaven, and the enemy hears it. They're under attack. So you must clear your foundation so that your foundation will not contribute to the problem. How do you clear it? You clear it by prayers. The fourth key for you to rise above your roots is you must live a holy life. Any dirtiness in your life will only give the enemy access. All the small sin that you are doing secretly will only allow the enemy to come into your life easily. Anything that you will be very embarrassed if somebody came to the altar here and is telling the congregation, you shouldn't be doing it. So you must live a holy life. That is how to escape. Last but not the least, you must kill the internal failures. In some lives, failure has been planted inside. So the man walking about on the street is just a dangerous bomb waiting to explode. But when you address these internal things, they will leave you alone. Perhaps you are here this evening, and somebody has told you before that you have familiar spirits. You need to pray. If it's a prophet that told you, the prophet is probably telling you the truth because he himself has a familiar spirit. So you could recognize their colleagues. When you see them, you find that you see things others do not see. That is an incubated failure. You need to deal with it. You find that the name you were given was the name of a dead relative. There is an incubated failure. You need to deal with it. You find that sometimes ago in your life you actually died and came back to life. There is an incubated failure. Something's already inside that you need to deal with. You find that all children before you died, you were the first one that stayed. Oh, you do have an incubated failure. You need to address it. You find there are some strange marks on your body and your parents cannot explain to you how those marks got there. You do have something to deal with. You wake up at night, something is scratching all over your body. Those are colleagues playing with you, which you didn't know. You need to deal with those things so that all this incubated failure will depart. If a man is incubating failure and you put the man in a successful position, he will soon collapse. Get yourself ready tonight, because we have prayers that goes down to the root to pray. Rise up on your feet. Let me give you a gentle note of warning. The kind of prayer we're going to pray tonight is a prayer you will pray, and all of a sudden, where you don't expect breakthroughs, your way will just open. It's the kind of prayer you will pray, and some may see you tomorrow and may not want to say good morning. Because they will now begin to see the glory of God upon your life. Judah in the Bible had a colorful destiny. His race was supposed to produce the Lord Jesus Christ. But Judah had a problem. The problem was sexual perversion. Judah was so sexually loose, he slept with his daughter-in-law. Judah therefore introduced pollution into the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you study the children of Judah in the Bible, you find this trend of sexual perversion going from person to person. Until you get to somebody like David, who was from the race of Judah. David had wives in the palace. All the same, he still went and took Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, and killed the husband because of that root of fornication, sexual perversion that had come from his forefather Judah. Eventually, David went and Solomon took over. Now Solomon broke all available records as far as polygamy was concerned. We talk about polygamy in Africa, but no man has ever beaten the record of Solomon. Had 700 wives, 300 concubines, meaning that if you are married to Solomon, he will probably visit you once in 3 years as a wife. Solomon got confused. The trouble you see in Palestine today started from Solomon. He brought in all these strange women, and then trouble began to happen. The root of his problem was in Judah, who had the problem of sexual perversion. All eyes closed. If you are here this evening and you are not born again, I want you to do so very quickly, because we have limited time. Do so very quickly so that you can begin to take a step towards rising above your roots. Wherever you are, while all eyes are closed, say, "Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to get born again. I'm tired of this kind of life of the tail." Wherever you are, while all eyes are closed, just raise up your right hand. Say, "Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Thank you. God bless you. I see that. And God bless you. God bless you. God bless you." Those of you raising up your hand, just say what I'm going to say after me. Say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you tonight. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen." If you said that short prayer with me, immediately we close. Please don't go home. Just find a way to the altar here so that we can pray more with you and collect your data so that we can continue to intercede for you even as you go. I congratulate you. Amen. The first prayer we're going to pray here today. Don't say, "I don't think I am concerned." It is safer to pray. You can never overpray. You can only underpray. So if you pray, there is no problem, fine. But it is dangerous not to pray and the problem remains in place. You will shout this at the top of your voice with holy anger, believing that the Lord God whom you serve will do great and marvelous things for you today. "Every evil power of my father's house." Can I hear the sister saying it?
"Every evil power of my
house." Is that the best the sisters can say?
"Every evil power of my house."
Can I hear the brother saying the same thing?
"Every evil power of my house."
Everybody together now.
"Every evil power of my
In Jesus' name we pray. Hi, you see now? Things have started to happen. Immediately you started praying. Immediately. Marika Soponte Yabosha. Yes, immediately. Things have started to happen. Thank you, Jesus. Say,
every evil power
of my mother's house, die in the name of Jesus. The evil power of my mother's house. Yes, Be released, 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 be released. That's the power of God, that's the power of God. Yes. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Aha, 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 aha. In Jesus' name we pray. This next prayer is going to break the yoke of marital failure. If you are a brother and you are here, what you should say is this: every power of spirit wife, die. If you are a sister, every power of spirit husband, die. Amen. Please, I want you to be very aggressive with this. Because these are powers that are scattering marriages and causing confusion. Open your mouth and pray now. Die in the name of Jesus. Kill the power. Kill that power. Kill that power. Oh, yes. Aha, 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 aha. Aha, 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 aha. Aha, aha, aha. Bossapia la katanda yaba. It's happening, it's happening, it's happening. Be released, 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 in the name of Jesus. Be released in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Silence. Silence. I can see the angels of God removing a satanic wedding ring from the finger of somebody there. Yes, your two hands, they're on fire. Those two hands are on fire. That's right. Everything this spirit husband has planted into your body, right there where you are, the power of God is coming upon you and the yoke is being broken. Yes. That's the first person. That's number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. Number seven. Yes, that's the power of God. That's the power of God. Yes, be released from the bondage of the spirit husband. Be released, be released, be released, be released, be released. Aha. Aha. Amen. Now, get yourself ready. Say, I fire back. Every arrow of my family idol. This prayer will go back to generations. Can you say it loud and clear? Shout it at the top of your voice. In the name of Jesus. Fire it back. Something must happen to you tonight in this place. Aha, 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 aha. Yes. Aha. Fire it back. 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 Yes. Yes. Fire it back. In Jesus' name we pray. Let there be silence now. There are three persons here. The enemy has kept you below the ladder of life. But as you were praying over there, all of a sudden those doors that have been blocked, the Lord opened them immediately. Thank you, Jesus. There are two persons here too. Right there where they are, there's a surgical operation going on in their bodies. Some things are being taken out. Silence. It's happening. That's right. It's happening. It's happening. That's the first person over there. This thing is being taken out from your body. It's been there for years. Yes, that's the power of God coming upon you. As the second person, right there by that door over there, the power of God is coming upon you, and that yoke that you have been going about with for years has been broken completely. That's right. All those who are here tonight who have been pursued by terrible creatures in their dreams, right there where you are, the power of God is coming upon your life. And the yoke of the evil pursuer is broken. It's 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 broken. In the name of Jesus. Now pray this prayer with all your strength. Pray it with all your might. Thou power of inherited poverty. I'd like you to look at your family line before you start praying, so you know how to pray hard. Can you shout it loud and clear? In the name of Jesus. Destroy that power by the power in the blood of Jesus. Bosete kataya boshendera bakari basandia. The riboko ponda sete yaboko shente yaba. Kill the poverty. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it. Yes. 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 In Jesus' name we pray. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, look at what is happening here. Glory be to the name of the Lord. That tree of non-achievement has been uprooted forever. Thank you, Jesus. Now you now pray this one before we go ahead. Every cycle of hardship,
every cycle of hardship.
Break!
Break
in the name of Jesus. Break this circle of hardship in the name of Jesus. Aha, aha, aha. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, where is the God of Elijah? Remember, that was what Elisha said. And he was able to cross his Jordan. Can you shout it loud and clear? Shout it at the top of your voice. Arise! Fight for me. Can you say it again? Yes. Say it again. Where is the God of Elijah? Arise. Fight in the name of Jesus. Where is the God of Elijah? Let him arise and fight. 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 The God of Elijah must arise and fight. He must arise and fight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Begin to thank the Lord for what he has done for you tonight. Praise him from the bottom of your heart. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one who has never lost a battle. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This is my story. This is my song. Praise my Savior, God the Lord. This is my story. This is my song. Praise my Savior. This is my story.
Sing it loud and clear, sing it loud and clear.
This is my song. Praising my Savior, God the Lord. This is my story. This is my song.
To start to think about your own family. How many people are doing well in that family? How many people are making it? Have you noticed that it will appear as if the trend of your mother's life is affecting your life? Have you noticed that what happened to your father is same thing seemed to want to happen? This is the time now to destroy that root. With all the power you can gather in your spirit, I want you to pray this yoke-breaking prayer. Every root of demotion, in my family life, can you say it with holy anger? Dry up and die in the name of Jesus. Destroy that root. Command it to dry up. Yes, say it, say it. It's happening already, it's happening already. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Yes.
Destroy the root of demotion. Destroy it. Destroy it. Destroy it. In Jesus' name we pray. Begin to thank the Lord again for what he has done. Thank you, thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
You have worthy to be praised,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name.
Have your seat, beloved. May have your seat. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Aha. Thank you, Jesus. Now, beloved, bring out your prayer letter. In case you didn't know that you are supposed to come here with a list of 7 things you want the Lord to do, then lay your hands on your chest or wait till after the service, write yours and drop it at the altar, because we're going to collect these prayer letters from you. Hold it in your right hand. 7 is the sign of perfection. Just put it to your right hand and close your eyes. As you hold it, you are going to sing this song loud and clear. The God that answered by fire, he will answer me by fire. You will answer me by today.
Today,
the God that
answered by fire,
you will answer me by fire. You will answer me by fire. Sing it with aggression.
The God that answered by fire, you will answer me by fire. You will answer me by fire.
Answer me by fire. You will answer me by fire. that answered by fire.
Let me be my God.
God that answered by fire. God has answered my fire.
Let him be my God.
God has answered my fire.
Let him be my God.
God has answered my fire.
Let him be my God.
God has answered my fire.
Let him be my God.
God has answered my fire.
Let him be my God.
God has answered my fire. One more time, one more time. The God has answered my fire.
Amen.
Now, when I say prayer request number one, you will say, oh God that answered by fire, answer by fire in the name of Jesus. Can you say that and let me hear you? Now, I want you to pray in faith. Because this paper in your hand is an instruction from the Holy Spirit. So don't take it as a plaything. Because even beginning from tonight, the miracles will begin to happen. Are you ready now? So when I say prayer point number one, you say it threefold. Oh God that answered by fire, answer by fire in the name of Jesus. Oh God that answered by fire, answer by fire in the name. You say it three times on each prayer letter. Get yourself ready. Prayer request number one. Answer by fire in the name of Jesus. Oh God that answered by fire. Answer by fire in the name of Jesus. Oh God that answered by fire. Answer by fire in the name of Jesus. Prayer request number two. God that answered by fire. Answer by fire in the name of Jesus. Oh God that answered by fire. Answer by fire in the name of Jesus. Oh God that answered by fire. Answer by fire in the name of Jesus. Prayer request number three.
God that answered by fire. Answer by fire in the name of Jesus. Oh God that answered by fire. Answer by fire in the name of Jesus. Oh God that answered by fire. Answer by fire in the name of Jesus.
Prayer request number four. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Yes. Prayer request number four. Oh yes. Oh yes. Prayer request number six. Pasataya bokombea. Riboka ponde sataya boshanta. Yes. Yes. Get yourself ready. Number seven now.
God that answered by fire. Answer by fire. In the name of Jesus. Oh God that answered by fire. Answer by fire. In the name of Jesus. Oh God that answered by fire.
Now when the children of Israel arrived at the wall of Jericho, they shouted a sevenfold victory shout, and the wall came tumbling down. Shout seven, Goliath destroying and Jericho destroying. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Amen! Thank you, Jesus. Look at somebody straight in the eye, say congratulations. Look at another person, say congratulations. Look at the third person, say congratulations. You may have your seat, God bless you. You may have your seat. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.